This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It's been a very exciting week. I have been scrambling along to get the details, just the business details, all straightened around and worked out for this little product launch. More on that later as we go along. There has been a few little interesting things here and there. I woke up, day before yesterday, I think it was Tuesday night, and realized, awakened to the idea that, wait a minute, I'm going to be buying fairly large sums of things from people. And they're going to charge me sales tax. I should go get a sales tax number so that I could get an exemption for that because I'm buying things for retail sales. So went in, downloaded all the forms Tuesday night and worked through them and read through them, got them all filled out, and got them ready to go. And then I had this little whisper that said, because it said up at the top, it said something about, if you've ever been issued a number, put it here. And this little whisper said, you've got that Nitpickers Guild thing that you did. And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, that had been, it's probably in 96, probably 97, sometime in there. So, I mean, it's like, 13 years old. But every year, religiously, I had been filing zero returns, $0. I had originally gotten it because I was going to make some t-shirts and sell them. And that didn't go extraordinarily well. Didn't really have any sales to speak of. So that's fine. I thought myself more popular than I actually was. Anyways. But every year I've been filing this zero return thing, and so I thought, maybe I'll just take that down with me. So I took that down with me and kind of explained the whole thing to the very helpful people down at the tax office here in Springfield. And the guy said, well, is this still open? And I said, it might be. I said, as far as I know, it is. He said, well, let me just check real quick. And so he pulled it up. He said, yeah. He said, that it's open. He said, do you just want to do a name change on this? And I went, yeah, that'd be great. So we did a name change on it, and bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, there we go. We're all ready to go. So it took about 40 minutes or so, but, I walked out of there with a certificate, and so now I have my sales tax exemption stuff in place, and so that all worked out fine. There is other news, but we'll talk about that in just a minute, because it sort of dovetails in with what I'd like to chat about today. And what I'd like to chat about today is a conversation that I had with an acquaintance this past week. And this acquaintance had kind of wandered back into something in life that their spouse was not real thrilled with. Obviously, I'm being vague. And so this acquaintance was talking to me and saying that, yeah, he had gotten back into this. And it's not something that was horrifically bad, as I'm fond of saying. It's free will. We get to choose. It's all part of that free will thing. And he had chosen to kind of wander back into something. And as we talked about it, I just stopped and I said, okay, well, so why? Tell me why. Why, when you know that your spouse does not approve of this, and this is a point of friction between you and your spouse, why? Why would you do that? Because, look, it's pretty obvious right away. It's not the thing that's the problem. It's what is driving you to the behavior to do that thing. And if it's an irritation point with your spouse, and you know your spouse doesn't want you to do that, and yet you're doing it anyway, that's being driven by flesh. Because out of respect and kindness to our spouses, we just don't do things to irritate them. I mean, that's just silly. And since it's being driven by flesh, it will invariably create an environment of failure. And this individual, in us discussing it, readily admitted that if he continued to do this, that it would have a negative effect on his, I was trying to stay away from pronouns, but that's fine, on his spouse. And so I asked him, I said, okay, why? Why would you do that? By that way, that was me squealing the tires. I was backed up in some traffic here, and I couldn't get across the intersection. And then I looked up, and it was yellow, and I thought, oh, there's just enough space for me to sneak across. I didn't realize I tromped on the gas quite that hard. That was not a green moment. Anyways, so why? Why would you do this? And the response that I got was, well, you know, it just kind of takes the edge off a little. I said, the edge off of what? Well, you know, life. But I said, why do you need the edge taken off life? Well, you know, it kind of takes the edge off the cares and worries of this life. I said, oh. I said, okay. So what did Jesus have to say about the cares and worries of this life? And he said, he kind of looked at me. I said, well, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't worry. Just don't worry. You know, look at the grass, look at the birds. They're taken care of. Everything's fine. Don't worry. That's what Jesus said. I said, he also said in the parable of the sower that as the sower goes out to sow, he throws the seed, and some of it falls on the hard ground, and the birds pick it up and take it away. Some of it falls on the shallow ground, where it springs up, but it doesn't have any root, and the sun comes down on it, and it just dies out. It said some of it ends up in thorns, and as it grows up, those thorns just choke out all the nutrients. And Jesus later identified those as the cares of this life. The cares of this life choke it out, all the good seed. I said, here's what's interesting about all of this. It's this idea that we have, that life is filled with worries and woes and cares, it's a lie. It's just flat a lie. And the more I thought about this through the week, the more I thought, yeah. So what we have, I told him, what we have here in this situation is your flesh tells you a lie about what the world is. It just flat out lies to you. You have things to be worried about. You should be concerned. You should be anxious. Even though we're told don't be anxious about anything, but just pray. Even though Jesus says don't worry, your flesh is going to tell you, you should be concerned. You should worry. Booga, 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 booga. Gives you all that stuff. And then when you do get worried, and when you do get concerned, and when you do get stressed out, then it starts suggesting things to you to help relieve your stress. Maybe you should go have a smoke. Maybe you should go have a drink. Take the edge off. Maybe you should go do some drugs. Maybe you should use somebody sexually so you can get some relief. It starts suggesting all of these things that create an environment of failure. Now, free will, you're welcome to do whatever you want. But if the reason that you're doing something is to try to take the edge off life, is to try to alleviate the worries, you are going to get some temporary relief from that, but you're not going to get a whole lot of long-term relief, because what you're being fed is a lie, and if you respond to that lie and believe that lie, the flesh is just going to push it at you harder. So if you're all stressed out and you get a little relief, the flesh doesn't have any problem with you getting a little relief, because it'll just sit back and wait. And once that relief, whatever it is, wears off, then it'll just come back harder. Booga, 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 booga. Okay, so how do I know that the cares and stress of this life are a lie? Well, if you look in the scripture, what you find is a completely different picture than what the flesh would attempt to tell you about life. Here's the picture that we find in the Bible about what this world is truly like once you clear away the lies that were fed about it. In Colossians, and there's a chapter in Still Whispers, my book, that's available free on my website, philferrin.com, so you're welcome just to go out to philferrin.com and download it for free. There's a chapter in my book called Coherence. There's a very interesting scripture in Colossians that says, by him, nothing was made without him, and all things were made through him, and by him all things consist. And I talk in that chapter about the fact that there is a mystery in our world that, as far as I know, has not been satisfactorily explained yet. And it has to do with the quantum realm, which is the subatomic realm, which behaves in much different fashion, apparently, than our existence. The threshold between the quantum realm and our realm, because in our realm, things are in one position. You don't move backward and forth in time. And yet in the quantum realm, you have some of these quantum things that are happening that are very strange and odd to our way of existence. And what the scientists think at this point is the quantum realm, all of our existence springs up out of the quantum realm, and yet it's completely different than our existence. And somehow, they say it coalesces or it coheres together and becomes our existence. It bubbles up out of the quantum foam, is the way one person put it. Well, I find that very interesting. That there is this coherence that comes, that creates our existence, because another term for that scripture, by all things, by him all things consist, is by him all things cohere. And I'm convinced that in fact the reason we have an existence is because God holds it together, that without him we would evaporate into the quantum foam. And for us, in our finite minds, therein lies madness, if we could even maintain our consciousness. So, at a fundamental level, we have an existence that is held together by God. And what we see through the Bible is that God is passionately in love with humanity. That's what the Bible reveals to us, that he is passionately in love with humanity. Yes, he's just. Yes, he's righteous. But he's taken care of those things in the sacrifice of Christ. because through Jesus Christ, the Bible also says, he has reconciled the world, not just Christians, the world to himself. So what we have now is a great God who holds this world together, who loves us passionately, who has given us this amazing gift of free will and the ability to believe whatever we decide to believe. And he gives us the opportunity to believe those things are true on one side, and on the other side, we have our flesh that is telling us those things aren't true, that God doesn't care, that he is far, far away, that there is greatness, a great deal to be worried about and be concerned with, and you really need to take the edge off. Okay, so out of your free will then, you get to decide what type of life you're going to lead. And it really is your decision to decide what type of life you are going to lead. Let me give you a couple of examples. This week, in fact, just today, I've been puttering along. The launch has been coming up. In the midst of all that, turns out there is another competitor out there, and it's called ICU for my little competitor for my little project. It's a thing that you clip on the phone, and they're getting ready to launch, and they're starting to get some press now. Okay, so they're getting press. Okay, well, they're getting above the ground noise, like rats. Okay, that's fine. I'm not out yet. That's fine. You know, so what the flesh is going to tell me is, see, it's all over. You spent all this money. It's all over. You're not going to sell any of these. You're just going to lose all this money. Shouldn't have done this in the first place. Okay, that's what it's going to tell me. Now then, in the first place, my response is, money isn't that important. It's not money that I didn't have to lose. Money is not that important. In the second place, every market is greater than only one product. In the third place, there's 55 million iPhones out there. And even if this other product, if 10% of those iPhone users decide they want a product like this, and 90% of those buy that other product, and only 10% of 10% actually look at my product and think, oh, that's pretty cool. That's still 500,000 units. I can make a lot of money on that. So it doesn't really matter. I'm going to break even by selling 4,000 twin packs on this. That's all I need to break even and walk away from this adventure. So when my flesh is over there going, worry, it's like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm not going to worry about this. That would be silly. The other thing that happened this morning, in fact, is it was time for me to drop by and see how the injection molder guy was doing, and so I dropped by to see how the injection molder guy was doing, because theoretically, I was going to launch 2 weeks from Monday. So I said, so how's it going? And he said, well, it's coming along. He said, we're really busy. Come on, it's coming along. I said, oh. I said, any chance the mold is going to be gone done by next Friday, a week from Friday? He said, nope, not a chance at all. Well, that was 8 weeks. I said, okay, well, when we had talked, you know, from that Friday, we paid the money, it was going to be 8 weeks. I said, that's 8 weeks. He said, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. I said, oh, okay, so let's look at the calendar. Let's figure it. He said, well, we're going to have 2 weeks to finish the mold. Okay, that's fine. So he said, we can probably start shooting product, you know, like on the 15th and see if it's okay. And then if it's okay, we can, you know, we can go. We might have to adjust a little bit and shoot it. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, so I had my mind set that we were going to be out by the 15th. But we're not going to be out by the 15th. And, you know, by the time we get product and then we get it shot and then we get the mirrors and we get it put together, The next week is Thanksgiving. So that's pretty rough trying to release something on Thanksgiving. Although I got to talk to some buddies about that and see what they think about it. So maybe we're not going to release now until November 29th. And it may be later. I mean, you know, if it's not done by the 15th and he says, yeah, we're going to need another week. Well, okay. I mean, you know, what am I going to say? What? I mean, I don't have any control over this at all. So, you know, of course, first thing flush, that other product's out there. Everyone, it's going to take all the sales. You're not going to have any sales. I'm getting my mail. And those are my labels. Wow, that got here before. Interesting. Those are my labels. And a little extra mail up here. You know, but it's just like, what? Hold on. I'm not listening to that. Hey, you're going to fail. I am not listening to that. That's a lie. I'm not going to fail. I don't know where this is going, but I have already succeeded in actually getting the product at this point. And I really doubt that I'm not going to break even on this thing. And after that, I get to go back to writing. And this was a great and fun adventure, and I've learned a lot of stuff that I might be able to use later in life. And while it would just be wonderful from one aspect, I'm backing into my garage, it would be wonderful from one aspect if this thing would, like, really take off and I could retire and just go back to writing full time. That would be really cool. Okay, if it doesn't, it's still okay. You know, if it just putters along and it takes me 2.5 years to get myself paid back, it's still okay. Because I didn't write this. I didn't do this to put all my eggs in this basket. I did this just to have an adventure. Because I am loved, and I am in a world that is loved, and I am in a world that is held. I am not in a world that is consumed with worry and fear and care. Because those are lies, and I'm not listening to that. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.